This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and once again, here we are. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Your questions come to us via radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. And we've got lots of questions to answer this week. So without further ado, here's Layla Mudin. She's our nutritionist in residence. How are you, Layla?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman. How are you?
Good. Anything big in the news this week?
Jane Brody and fish oil, and is it really all that good for us? And apparently in a recent article in the New York Times, she was told by her doctor to take a statin. Mm-hmm. So she had to give in to that, but...
Yeah, you know, I've really been disappointed in Jane Brody lately because she wrote an article, and I actually commented on it in our weekly newsletter about osteoporosis, where she swallowed virtually a press release from the manufacturers of osteoporosis drugs and printed it verbatim in her column. And basically what she was saying is that we're losing the war against osteoporosis because people are misinformed. They're afraid to use these wonderful osteoporosis drugs. Mm-hmm. But actually, it may well be that I consider the possibility that the drugs aren't really working.
Yeah.
You know, more and more people are turning up with osteoporosis. They're fearful of the side effects with good reason, because there are side effects, including fracture, paradoxically, with the use of these medications long term. Mm-hmm. So people aren't swallowing the party line. Yeah. So she seems to think that the only way to go is to take medications, and is ignoring evidence to the contrary, that supplementation, especially with things like strontium, things like
vitamin K, D.
Iproflavone,
magnesium,
adequate levels of vitamin D, really should be our first line against osteoporosis. Also, the whole exaggeration of the osteoporosis phobia, you know, people are so fixated on their bone density, you know, and in the article, I cite evidence that there's actually a rather poor correlation between bone density and fracture risk.
Yeah. Well, it's coming to light that bone mineral density may not be the best way to test bone strength, after all.
The best way to test is probably to drop you from progressively higher heights and see which, I mean, really.
Second floor.
it's like you have second floor bone loss, third floor. You know, but the point being, I mean, I say this facetiously, but it's a surrogate marker. It's a marker that is... Yeah. You could take two individuals who have exactly the same bone density, and in the next 10 years, one is going to have a very high likelihood of fracture, another very low likelihood of fracture, because maybe one of them is unsteady on her feet, is taking medication that may drop their blood pressure, make them feel weak and woozy. We actually have a question about this later in the today. Somebody's on blood pressure medication, felt weak and woozy. Other people are on psychiatric medications that make them feel groggy, on sleep medications that make them feel hungover. You know, there's so many ways in which medication can make you feel unsteady, weak, and lose your balance.
And cause necrosis of the jaw.
And osteoporosis of the jaw is, of course, a side effect of this. So, you know, Jane Brody weighing in on fish oil, to me, is not that credible.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So, all right, on to questions.
Yes.
We've got an email from Joseph. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I was hoping you could go over some supplementation to support strong joints. I'm involved in progressive resistance training, and as I'm aging, I'm noticing that my joints are not as strong. It's mostly soft tissue such as cartilage and tendon. I eat a very clean diet with under 25 grams of carbs per day.
How old is this person, by the way?
He doesn't say.
Doesn't say.
All organic, non-GMO foods.
Right.
Joseph.
Let me just say this about, you know, as someone involved in progressive resistance training, and now that I'm 65, it's a good thing because it will fend off sarcopenia, which is muscle loss, which is that inevitable process by which you lose muscle mass, and it's going to happen. You can attenuate that by doing resistance exercise.
Yeah.
However, I am not the same person I was when I was 35 or 40 or even 50. Darn it. And, you know, I look at the weights that I lifted then.
Yeah.
And I can't bench press, you know, my body weight and more.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there are some extraordinary 65-year-olds who are absolutely doing that, and God bless them. I don't have the body structure to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to put extraordinary stress on your joints because you're asking for trouble.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
That's true, too.
But it's the resistance training that you do within your limits. And, you know, the suggestion is that you don't do resistance training where you're doing, like, 2 to 3 reps, you know, to failure.
You know,
which is like what weightlifters in Olympic competition do.
Right.
But that you do more reps. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm happy to do 12, 15 reps of a much lower weight, and I know it's doing me good.
Yeah.
It just may not be bulking me up. I also have, you know, less shoulder mass than I did because I got up to the point where I was wearing a size 44 jacket.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm like a size 39 jacket.
I feel
better.
Okay.
You know, I was too bulked up.
Yeah. Too much weight can cause wear and tear. Too much weight hauling can cause wear and tear.
Absolutely.
Joseph, have a mug of bone broth every day.
It's a mechanical stress.
Yes. He should have some soup or bone broth.
Okay.
Homemade, or you can get it from Brothmaster, or there are other outlets of all of this that you can get. Have that. It's good for the cartilage and everything. But there are also some great supplements.
Right.
To help support healthy joints like glucosamine, chondroitin.
Yep.
MSM.
Yep.
Fish oil is also helpful. Coming back to
denatured collagen type 2 sometimes is helpful.
Yeah.
You know, the anti-inflammatories, of course, curcumin.
Mm-hmm.
These are beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah. So progressive resistance training. Okay. So he's hauling more and more weight is basically what's...
I guess progressive means that you keep taking more.
Yeah. You keep taking more. Check in with a personal trainer if you don't already. Make sure that you are practicing good form.
Mm-hmm.
That's also very important so you don't injure yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I would also say something about testosterone.
Mm.
You know, as you age, sometimes your testosterone decreases, and that may make it more difficult, or DHEA decreases, and it may make it less likely that you can progress.
Mm-hmm.
Because of some sort of hormonal limitation to your weight training.
Yeah.
And if indeed, I mean, I wouldn't do this frivolously.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, men with normal testosterone take testosterone so they can weight train. I think that's dangerous and, you know, counterproductive.
That can cause brittle bones later on.
It actually makes more injury prone in the sense that you get beyond your capacity.
Yeah.
And while the muscles strengthen, the attachments don't.
Mm-hmm.
And they're less likely to strengthen. And so the tears occur not in the muscles, but at the attachments.
Yeah. I knew a gentleman who was a very active resistance trainer early on.
Mm-hmm.
This was back in the 80s now. Took a lot of testosterone.
Right.
By the time he was 50-something, he was walking around with a cane.
Oh, yeah.
So that was...
Yeah. I had dinner with a guy who is a relative of mine. And he is, it's funny because I go visit him in Florida and it's like, okay, let's go to the gym. So it's like, you know, our getting together is to go to the gym. You know, he works out with his trainer. I go, you know, mess around with weights. Then it's like a very vigorous spin class. And then it's like, okay, dinner. Okay. So he's really into physical culture and exercise, and he's 70. And he looks,
terrific.
I mean, I've seen this guy, you know, he's visited my house and we've gone swimming, and he looks like an Adonis.
Wow.
He has a really low body fat and great muscle tone and musculature, but he walks funny. He has a very stiff gait.
Ah.
And so, you know,
is that all those muscles in the way?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And so what I've said, he sort of lurches around a little mm-hmm. bit. And what I've said is, maybe you should do some yoga to balance. Because I said I've started doing yoga this past year, and he said, I don't even know if I could still do that. He says, I'm just so inflexible now. And I said, you're past the point where, you know.
He shortened his muscles yes, with all that resistance
yes.
training.
So that is, there's something a little unbalanced about that.
Yeah.
And I can recall a couple of patients, and I think you have in mind some of the patients that we see who are older and who do a tremendous amount of this, and their feats are super impressive. However, there is a bit of a stiffening that occurs.
Mm.
And
wow.
So, you know, I think it's an important piece. But, make sure it's in the service of your health and not ego-driven, because if it's ego-driven, you're more likely to have injuries and you're more likely to have stiffness and problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wear and tear. It's a mechanical stress, you know.
Not for preening in front of the mirror, in other words. Be well.
Well,
well, you could preen a little.
There's nothing wrong with preening, but, you know, you got to be able to get to the mirror.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you're too stiff to get, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Joseph, best of luck to you. Thank you for your question. Ah, here's one from Elaine. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. My daughter's been diagnosed with fatty liver. What supplements can she take to help heal her liver? What foods are good to eat and what foods should she avoid?
Boy, do I love this question.
It's a consult.
Well, no, but we're going to go into it. Okay.
We are, yeah.
But it was so interesting is that every once in a while I read, in the medical news about some new innovation, a drug to treat fatty liver, because it's such a prevalent problem. And it may affect like 10% of American adults.
Yeah.
And it is, there's a huge market for this. And if you could just take a pill and make it go away, well, inevitably what happens to these drugs is they never reach approval because they crash and burn. They have side effects, so they don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so there ain't nothing like diet and lifestyle
Absolutely.
For that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
fatty liver disease is becoming more pandemic. It's more associated with obesity than even alcohol intake.
Sure.
Alcohol intake is a separate issue. But
metabolic syndrome, closely related.
Right.
And it's all about triglycerides.
Yes.
That when they're circulating in your bloodstream, they actually accumulate in your liver and they will mm-hmm. cause marbling of your liver.
And what causes those high triglycerides? A very junky diet, a high carb, refined carbohydrate diet, high sugar diet. The first thing to do is clean up the diet.
And even virtuous sugar, like fruit juice.
Oh,
and
yeah.
too much fruit.
Yeah.
In certain people who are susceptible, the fructose goes right to triglycerides.
Yes.
And accumulates as fat. So the other factor that's involved, actually, had a very nice conversation with, Dr. Pizzorno wrote a book called The Toxin Solution. He believes that a very high percentage of fatty liver is related to environmental pollution.
Yeah.
And, you know, certain pollutants get into the system and damage the liver. Also, mm-hmm. there's often a bit of a, synergy with alcohol consumption. So
yes.
alcohol, the liver perceives that as a toxin.
Mm-hmm.
However, the classic fatty liver is called NASH, non-alcoholic steatohepatitis.
Yes.
Where if the liver is messed up, it could be from alcohol, but it could also be from diet.
Yeah.
So also the microbiome participates in that. There's some studies that suggest that the microbiome, if it's imbalanced, it releases endotoxins, which go directly via the portal circulation to the liver. That's the liver's the detox organ for the intestines.
Yeah.
So anyway, so when it comes to diet, what do you recommend?
A much lower carb diet for one. Get rid of all the junk, the sugar, the white flour, all of that. At the very least, the soft drinks.
Is it a very high meat diet or a high fat diet?
No. It can be a higher fat diet, at least Mediterranean, 40% or so.
But
lower
suggest
in carbohydrate.
A light diet, like L-I-T-E.
Yeah.
Sort of
taking less calories is helpful. First of all, I love the rule of we must fast for 12 hours every night.
Mm-hmm.
I love that one. Gives your liver a rest, gives your body a chance to repair and to heal and do all of that. The other thing is that, removing all the toxins in your life, all of that weight loss. With weight loss, mm-hmm. all of this can be helped. Fatty liver can be helped because it's when your triglycerides come down that you will know that this is now being burned off. All that marbling in the liver, hopefully, will be then burning up.
Okay.
And
used as fuel as opposed to stored as fat.
Yeah.
Okay, so the diet is, it's a low-carb diet,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily like massive tranches of meat and...
No, it's not high protein. Because, it's basically moderate in protein.
Because you want to sort of reduce the burden of detoxification by the liver. Okay, so that diet, you know, we could, you know, get past that. And let's talk about supplements. Some really great work on vitamin E recently.
Mm.
Vitamin E, and I would recommend the gamma tocopherol form of vitamin E at about 800 international units. That's helpful. Supplements to avoid niacin.
Yeah.
Because niacin does affect the liver adversely at high doses.
Yeah.
Avoid iron, because iron makes things worse in the liver.
Vitamin A.
High dose vitamin A.
Can be stressful.
Yeah.
On the liver as well. Wear things like cod liver oil, which can have very high amounts.
Right.
Vitamin A.
What are some of the other supplements that are helpful?
I like N-acetylcysteine.
Yes.
Alpha-lipoic acid
yes.
for the liver. Maybe some milk thistle.
Yep.
As
phosphatidylcholine.
Well. Phosphatidylcholine. Very,
betaine.
Very good. Betaine. Yes.
These are some of the things that
digestive
are helpful.
Digestive enzymes are helpful.
And there's certain hepatic things that are along the lines of milk thistle, like dandelion, which may be helpful for hepatic function.
Mm-hmm.
And some studies suggest that green tea is helpful, but some studies suggest that very high dose EGCG may be damaging to the liver. So maybe a cup of green tea or two, but not really high dose EGCG. You know, pretty much those are some of the things that are helpful. Oh, SAMe may be beneficial as well.
Yes.
Supports liver function.
Mm-hmm.
Acetylcholinethionine.
Mm-hmm.
Those are sort of the main. Taurine may also help to conjugate toxins. Those are, I think, some of the main. The probiotics, you know.
Probiotics. A good probiotic is always a good idea to help boost the microbiome or microbiota. We have to start saying microbiota instead
bowels,
of microbiome.
You know,
move your bowels, absolutely.
Because that's important. You know,
toxins.
Constipation is problematic in that condition.
Yeah. Yeah, Elaine, so that's the advice for your daughter. And, of course, you should have that monitored.
That'll be $800, please.
Yeah.
Please remit your check, too.
Thank you for your question. Okay. Oh, this one comes from Barbara. Let's see. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. On your recent broadcast, you recommended magnesium taurate. I was told to take magnesium glycinate. Would you please tell me the difference in why you chose taurate? I had my mitral valve repaired 5 years ago. Now they're saying my aortic valve has some plaque.
Well, but
what would you suggest remove that?
In the same question, it's the magnesium and the...
It's
a twofer.
Two question.
Twofer. So it's not such a big deal, but magnesium taurate, I recommend for people with heart rhythm problems.
Yeah.
And possibly for hypertension, because taurine may have nice effects on blood pressure. Glycine, when you use magnesium glycinate, glycine's nice. You know, glycine is actually a building block for glutathione. So it's not bad. It's just, and it's also a mild form of magnesium, doesn't give you diarrhea. It's pretty well absorbed. So it's not a big deal, but, you know, I guess we're here talking about mitral valve prolapse and not a cardiac arrhythmia.
Yeah. And she had hers repaired 5 years ago.
Well, now she's got plaque. Okay, so
Now she has plaque.
Now, it doesn't specify an age, but it's almost a universal finding in anyone over the age of 50 or 60 to find some aortic calcification.
Okay.
It's not necessarily pathological. It can lead to the need for aortic valve replacement eventually when the valve becomes very stiff or incompetent. But
okay.
I don't know. There's no way to dissolve away that plaque. I'm sorry to say.
So it's not like with blood vessels where a chiolic may be helpful?
Preventing it from getting worse. Yes, we could use MK7, which prevents arterial calcification.
Yeah.
We can use chiolic aged garlic extract to prevent it from getting worse. But I think she's looking for some kind of... natural Drano or something that you can take to flush away the calcium.
Right.
That ain't going to happen.
No. Please don't take Drano.
Do not take Drano. Because the people will misinterpret this. Dr. Thomas suggested using Drano. Let me go out and get some Drano. Then it's like, call the lawyers.
Right. Right. So, okay, some aortic valve plaque. Okay. I would still suggest, yeah, the taurate form of magnesium is probably better for her. And taking some chiolic, taking some fish oil. She's on a very good diet. Organic, grass-fed, all of that. It's about, yeah, and she's an avid listener, and she gets the newsletter and listens to the radio program every week for many, many years.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for your question.
Thank you for your interest.
All right. We've got a question from Farida.
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 I had a hairdresser once named Farida.
Oh.
Farida is a, it's a Pakistani name, I think, but she was from the Caribbean.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. This is about your newsletter article, Dr. Hoffman, on iron. Do you want to hear the good news or the bad news first that you had recently?
Right. That
this
was the name
from
of the article.
April.
That she's not asking. She's not saying the good news.
Right, right. Farida is asking, hi, I have a question regarding postmenopausal women. Could their iron levels increase and be considered too high? Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we tell women after menopause not to take a multi with iron.
Right, right.
But women before menopause, you should always check to see whether you have iron overload. It's conceivable even premenopausally to have too much iron, but less likely.
Mm-hmm. That's a ferritin level. That's also the hemoglobin and hematocrit. If it's starting to creep up, what would remedy this? Do you think giving blood or something
the remedy
like that?
Is, it's simply giving blood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And watch your iron intake.
Yeah. And,
You may want to go for more lower in heme iron, number one.
White meat as opposed to red meat.
Exactly. The other thing is...
black tea.
Black tea. Take black tea. It'll inhibit the absorption of iron.
Yes. And how do they... Do you know how they discover that?
No.
In Israel, they have a, for some reason, they had a custom of giving babies black tea in a bottle. You know, like instead of fruit juice, they gave them black tea.
Wow.
Because like, it's their big tea drinkers or something. It's maybe Eastern European carryover. And they had an epidemic of iron deficiency anemia in these babies. And they found that the black tea was inhibiting their iron absorption.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. So drinking black tea can help inhibit the absorption?
Right. But, you know, if you have full-blown hemochromatosis, diagnosed based on a blood test, but also genetic testing, then you need to go to a hematologist who will do phlebotomy on you and just draw your blood out and throw it away.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing to do
it's like
is...
The barbers would bleed you.
Yes.
Know, it's like the, the old custom of bleeding.
Of bleeding.
Right.
So that's helpful. Give blood. That's probably the best thing to do. Mm-hmm. Of course, have your iron levels checked. Another thing, if you're taking vitamin C, you want to not take vitamin C during your meals because it enhances the absorption. You may want to take a buffered vitamin C powder in between your meals. That might be a little bit better because I'm an avid fan of vitamin C. I'm not going to stop taking my vitamin C, but maybe take it a little bit differently.
Right. It is suggested if you are iron deficient to take a little vitamin C with a meal because it would enhance iron absorption.
Yeah. Exactly. So eating certain plant-based foods containing iron like spinach, peas, lentils, they have iron, but they also have enough phytic acid to bind up the iron. You don't have to be, you don't have to navigate that so much. You can eat those foods if you like them. It's really the heme iron sources, meaning the animal protein, the red meat, dark meat.
Popeye was actually medically incorrect.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't, you know, Popeye would open up a can of spinach and then his forearms would, he didn't have any biceps, he had big forearms.
He did.
His forearms would bulge.
Right.
And then he would do some incredible thing.
Anchor tattoo.
Beat up Bluto, you know, right?
But and win back olive oil.
Exactly, but it is not medically and nutritionally correct that, the spinach does not have a lot of bioavailable iron. It has iron.
Yeah.
Some, you know, vegetarian-oriented people say, I'll just eat a lot of spinach to get my iron. And no, that doesn't really do it.
Yeah. That doesn't really do it. And Popeye ate spinach out of a can, no less.
Well, all maybe he got some
BPA.
There's some like iron residue in the can or something. Better he should eat the can.
Better he should eat the can. Okay. Thank you, Farida, for your question.
We have to pause because...
You're kidding.
Yes, we time flies and we're having fun.
Ah.
It's the end of part one of today's Q&A with Layla. And when we return, part two, and we'll start by answering what question?
Ah, can you address Peyronie's disease?
Okay. It's an important subject. It's, you know, Peyronie's disease. We'll talk all about it. When we return, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, our weekly Q&A with Layla.